I hope you have thoughts, and sometimes I just like to come and share my thoughts and share maybe some things or a little bit of hope and encouragement. I think that's what we're all about. We have a biblical mandate to encourage each other in the faith, and that's what I like to take this little time with pastor's thoughts and prayers, because I struggle and experience everything that everybody else does. That's what makes Jesus the perfect intercessor, because while he was here in this world, he experienced everything that we experience. Grief, rejection, hunger, you know, it goes all the way through. Now, a little gross at times, but, you know, he even experienced going to the bathroom. Think about that. That's what makes him the most perfect intercessor for us, for our physical life. And then he made a promise that he would always be with us and never forsake us. And we think, how can that be? He died on the cross. He was buried. Third day he rose from the dead. And he was seen by many. But then he went back to heaven. Well, he said he would send the Holy Spirit. And that's what he did. And that's what we're studying. But anyhow, I was thinking about it because we're going to have a celebration of life on Saturday with for Miss Burgess and the weddings and the brothers and sisters and all that. And so every once in a while, we all experience grief. And also, did you know that we need healing in our physical bodies? And even your pastoral family with Judy is going through. Her cancer came back, but she's going through treatment again. So I was thinking, there you go, Robbie, you're thinking again. But Solomon, the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes, and he also wrote most of the Proverbs. But this is what he said. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven. Time to be born, time to die. Time to plant, time to harvest, time to kill, time to heal, time to tear down, time to rebuild, time to cry, time to laugh, time to grieve, and a time to dance, and a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and time to turn away, time to search, time to lose, time to keep, time to throw away, time to tear, time to mend, a time to be quiet, and time to speak up, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war. Why do people really get all excited about all that stuff? It's the cycles of life, little Ralphieism added. But I was talking about grief, and of course we continue to pray for Judy and her healing and all the ones that are on our prayer list and all the people that we talk about and have prayers of intercession for, because every one of us has a challenge or a need, and we need some hope. But one of the things is we as United Methodists, and it's always been a blessing to me, we don't have funeral services. What do you mean, preacher? I've been to some. Well, no, we are having a death, burial, and resurrection service. It is because of the resurrection of Christ that we have hope of eternal life. Because I mentioned that because the reason I don't call it funerals, even though that's what they are in our culture and our tradition. But a funeral brings grief to a focus as we mourn the loss of someone that we love. That pain, that emptiness lingers with us. And sometimes it just never really goes away while we're here on this world. God understands and cares about us in our seasons of grief, in our seasons of joy, all of us. In fact, Jesus experienced grief when you think about it. In John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Now, it takes courage to face our losses squarely and grieve for them. No doubt about that. It is not easy to lose stuff or grieve, but we have to take courage. We're supposed to have courage. It's the way our makeup is. But there's a time sometimes after all that just to move on. Because it takes just as much courage to let go of our grieving season at the appropriate time. And we must bring closure to our time of mourning. If we have the loss of someone or a loss, financial loss, you name it, any kind of loss. Because we need to participate, once again, in God's plan for our lives. So we need to move on from that loss, whatever it may be, physical or monetary. Because then there will come a time in our life when we'll be ready to move out of the open and visible and grieving and back into our daily routines of living. You know those daily routines? I get up in the morning, eat, go to work, get kind of lunchtime, come home, relax a little bit, go to bed, get up in the morning, and you know, it just goes on and on and on. But we're helped in our grieving process when we have the proper perspective about the future. The blessed hope, as we call it, eternal life with Christ. You know, make your reservation if you haven't and call on Him now. Well, we know that one day grieving will end. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more suffering, and we have that assurance. Blessed assurance, as Fanny Crosby said, of eternity with our brothers and our sisters and our mom and dad and all of those brothers and sisters in Christ. Grief is healed by what? Hope. The blessed hope in Christ. Well, I hope and pray that you're having a good day. I just thought I'd share that with you a little bit because we as Christians or Christ followers, we all have time when we need to call upon the blessed hope because life's not easy. In fact, it's complicated. But Jesus not only comforted us when he was here, whenever he was to the grave of Lazarus and he wept, he has given us comfort in a lot of ways. And he has promised a lot of things. There's promises of Jesus. You can read them all through Scripture and even in the Old Testament. But Jesus promised something that was much better than anything for us modern-day disciples, because he's not here with us in the physical realm. He promised us the Holy Spirit. So hang on to the blessed hope that you have and to encourage somebody that you might meet today. Well, we do have a lot of people that have a lot of concerns and prayers and so forth, and you can find them on the website there. If you Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers and you click on the little thing that says slides, and it'll take you to the same information that we have that we pass out on the bulletin on Sunday morning. Just know that that we have a lot of people that are hurting, a lot of people that are having joy at this particular time of their life, but there's many, many people, but one thing that we all need every day of our life is to communicate with the living God through the Holy Spirit and to lift up one another, to encourage one another. So, with that, we always like to close this segment with the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. You know, they walked everywhere they went, and they were with Jesus for 3 years, and they had developed a wonderful relationship with him in the physical sense. And he was teaching them about things to come in the spiritual sense. But at the end of the day, after they were out and about and doing ministry, and they stopped at the end of the day, they built a little fire, maybe cooked some fish. I don't know. I wasn't there in person, but I'm just thinking that maybe that's what took place. And then after they had time of fellowship, then they ate. When the brothers met, the brothers ate, and if they hadn't ate, they'd have never met. But anyhow, then Jesus would go off by himself, and it puzzled the disciples. And so when he come back after being away, they said, "Lord, why do you go off by yourself like that?" "Well, guys, you know, I am God in the flesh, and I experience everything you do. I get tired, I get hungry, I get thirsty, but then I also need to take time to talk to the Father." Talk to the Father? Yes, talk to the... Can we do that? He says, "Sure, I'll teach you. And I'll give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with as we pray that familiar prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I like that translation, from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Many translations have the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught. One of the King James Version was, deliver us from the evil one. I kind of always latched onto that because it made sense to me, because God doesn't send us evil, but the evil one is here and about seeking to destroy like a roaring lion. So we need deliverance from the evil one, and Christ did that on the cross. Have a wonderful day.